standing and take out your Bibles and turn this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to be reading one text from the Old Testament and two from the New Testament. We begin with Deuteronomy 18 this morning. Deuteronomy 18, beginning at verse 15. This is the holy, inerrant word of God. Give it now your full attention as it is read. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. You may be seated, but keep your Bibles open. And turn now, if you will, to Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. And we'll begin at verse 17. This is Peter speaking after having healed a lame man to the crowds in Acts 17. Peter says, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Let's turn also to the first couple of verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Thus far, God's holy word. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word, and we pray now as we consider what it is teaching us in these passages and others as well, that your Spirit, who inspired this word, would press this truth upon our hearts greatly, convince us, Lord God, of its true meaning, and convince us and convict us, Lord God, in terms of our living in light of it and how we are to respond to it, all for your glory through Christ our Savior. Amen. Barack Obama is currently the He's currently the President of the United States. And as the President, he is, okay, I heard Commander-in-Chief. Anything else that he is? What? Representative. What did somebody else say? Okay, let me give you a hint. He is the highest. He is the highest blank office holder. He's the highest elected office holder in the country. Now, typically, when we think of office holders in our country, we think of elections. He's the highest elected office holder. And so we typically think of elections in terms of office holders. So we think of the democratic process. Now, there are a few officials, there are other leaders in our government that are appointed, that have been appointed to serve. But the highest leader in our country is elected. Now, it was not by democratic vote, but by divine vocation, by God the Father's absolute, most holy, supreme appointment, that the highest office in the universe of all time was filled by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is serving out his office by appointment. God the Son was appointed. He was chosen. He was designated by the Father to hold the highest office, the most exalted and glorious honor possible among men. Which, of course, is the three-way, the threefold holy position of prophet, priest, and king, as we read and confessed this morning from the shorter catechism question number 23. It was as the preeminent prophet of God, priest of God, and king from God that Christ carried out all the perfect plan of God to redeem us and make us God's everlasting family, his holy people, those who love him and serve him with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Now, we're all familiar with the way an office holder can bring either dignity or disgrace to the office he holds, depending, of course, on his performance. If an office holder carries out his duties, his responsibilities in a righteous way, he brings honor to the office. However, if he abuses his power or acts in immoral, corrupt, or unrighteous ways, he scandalizes or degrades his office and pollutes it then with shame or contempt. This, of course, is what the very first human office holder Adam did. In the garden, at the beginning, he was God's privileged vice ruler. And the Lord created him with the ability to fulfill his calling as the head of his race, as our first prophet, priest, and king. And as a prophet, he received and correctly knew God's word, God's interpretation and definition of all reality and truth. And then as a priest, he served the Lord. He offered up to God the work of his hands, the fruit of his labor as an act of worship, honoring and exalting and praising God who alone is worthy of all glory. And of course, as a king, he enjoyed his right to rule over creation in a way that pleased God, his creator. So in the garden, as the first prophet, priest, and king, Adam, the office holder, the covenant head of the human race, enjoyed his position before God with its blessings of true knowledge and righteousness and holiness. And then as the highest ranking officer in God's created order, Adam fell. He sinned and brought disgrace on himself and his race. And his rebellious and defiant disobedience dishonored his office. He plunged the whole of humanity then into depravity and death. And that true knowledge and righteousness and holiness of man, it was shattered, and we all became sinners by nature. Our true knowledge became ignorance. Our righteousness became guilt, and our holiness was polluted with perversion and impurity. And rather than leave Adam and his descendants in this fallen, sinful, cursed condition, God provided a second Adam, a new covenant head, a redeemer who would rescue some of Adam's doomed race and restore honor and dignity to the three offices Adam had desecrated. Now, after Adam was banished from the garden, God began revealing this plan of redemption through a people that he chose to be his witnesses in the world. He brought them into existence, and he regulated, he ruled over them. He provided for them, he instructed and guided them through three kinds of leaders or three kinds of authorities. Guess who? Prophets, priests, and kings. The representative model for prophets in Israel was Moses. Now remember, he was chosen by God. He went up on the mountain to meet with God, and God gave Moses his holy law, his word, his will, which Moses was then responsible to deliver to the people, to go down and tell the people. And so Moses' job as God's prophet was to declare God's message. Nothing more, nothing less to God's people. And then the representative model priest was Moses' brother Aaron. He and his descendants became the priesthood in Israel, and it was their duty to lead the people in the proper worship of God, to prepare the people to meet with God through what through the various sacrifices and atonements and the various purifying ceremonies. And so the priests offered to God what he required in order to enter his holy presence. And so the priests, in this sense, they were mediators going to God for or on behalf of sinful men who could not seek or approach God on their own. And then the representative or the model king in Israel was King David, the son of Jesse. He was the fearless warrior king who crushed Israel's enemies and delivered her from defeat and made her into a great nation among men. Now, these model office holders and hundreds more like them in the Old Testament were all pointing ahead. They all prefigured or anticipated God's perfect office holder, the second Adam, God the Son, our Lord Jesus, who restored all honor and dignity to these offices. And he did that by sinlessly, perfectly obeying his Father. And by his Father's power and design, he used each office to accomplish our salvation, to save us from eternal ruin or damnation, and to make us a new, holy race of redeemed people. And so by Christ's perfect, prophetic, priestly, and kingly mission, we are enlightened. That is, we come again to know. We come out of our ignorance. We come to know the truth. We are forgiven. Jesus pays our deserved punishment, our sacrifice, making us righteous in God's sight, that priestly work. And we are recreated and we begin new lives in submission rather than rebellion to God's rule, to His law, as our sovereign King. So in Christ, we deny self-rule and we embrace Christ's rule, His lordship over us. And so our salvation, our redemption, is intimately tied to what Jesus did as God's promised prophet, priest, and king. And today, the Westminster Shorter Catechism questions, in particular question that we looked at, 24, concerns the specific role of Christ Jesus as our prophet. We're going to look at his role as our priest tonight, and then as our king later. So we might ask to begin with this morning, what prophet is a prophet? And I'll answer that question this way. Okay, how did you like that explanation? What was I thinking? Does anybody know exactly what was in my mind in the last 20 seconds? No, you don't. In order for there to be communication, you're knowing what I'm thinking or desiring. You're knowing my will. There must be some kind of self-disclosure. Some form of revelation from me to you. And on an infinitely greater scale, that is what must happen for us to know, to truly know and understand the mind of God. He must reveal to us His will, His commands, His desires. And that communication, that self-disclosure, that word from God to men was the duty It was the responsibility of prophets. Prophets spoke God's message to Israel. Now, at times, that message included predictions, what we refer to as foretelling the future. But the prophet was not just a predictor of future events. He was also, and primarily really, a convictor, a confronter of current character or behavior that needed changing. He pronounced both blessings, which are called benedictions, and curses, which are called maledictions, on God's people based on their trust and obedience to God. And it was through the prophets that God revealed His character to His people and His expectations of them. And of course, the final and greatest prophet in the entire line of holy prophets is our Lord Jesus. He came into the world to do essentially three things. First of all, to reveal. Secondly, to redeem. And thirdly, to rule. His first duty was revealing truth to us. He made known to us the truth about God. He showed us, He demonstrated, He explained, He revealed who God is, what God is like, and what God demands. God's will for our salvation. In John 1:18, John writes, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the only begotten, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known." Matthew 11, Jesus Himself says, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." He's the great revelator. He reveals the truth of God to us. And through His person, His work and word, all that Jesus was and is and did, Jesus disclosed to us all that we can know about God in this life. He finished perfectly His prophetic role of delivering to us God's message, the gospel of our salvation. And then through the Holy Spirit, Christ completed His revelation of God to us. You might remember His telling the apostles about that in John 16, when He told them, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it or make it known to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." So, through the Holy Spirit, Christ's apostles then, in response to that prophetic word from Christ, His apostles recorded His word, which is now the only way that God reveals His absolute truth to us. There are no apostles in the church today. And there are no prophets in the church today. But the church does have an apostolic mission in the world. And we do have a prophetic role to fulfill in the sense of confronting the world and declaring and explaining and proclaiming God's Word, the Bible, to the lost, to sinners as well as to the church. And beloved, because you have God's final Word, His holy, inerrant Word in your possession, and because you have been redeemed by Christ, the incarnate living Word of God, and because you are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit, who convicts you of sin and righteousness and judgment, at the direction of Christ, your perfect prophet, you can and you must carry out a prophetic lifestyle. One that reflects the glory and the honor and the dignity and the reverence due Christ, the utterly true and faithful prophet of the living God. And so with Moses, all the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, we also must proclaim His gospel of saving grace. And we are to do it in a prophetic way with the warning we read from Holy Scripture this morning, that anyone who does not listen to Him will be completely cut off from God's people. That is your prophetic calling, to deliver that message faithfully to the world, that those walking in darkness may come into the light. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do live in a sin-cursed world, this present darkness, and we know that men are deceived by all types of false gospels and counterfeit faiths. And we pray that in the spirit of all the true prophets that you sent to your people, especially in the spirit of Christ, the one and last holy, glorious prophet of God, who is the living Word of God, we pray that you would help us to deliver the truth, the true message of salvation in Christ alone, in all of its glory and all of its warnings and all of its promise and hope for great blessing and forgiveness and eternal life. Help us, Lord, to complete that prophetic responsibility in this community, through this church, in each of our lives and vocations, that through us, those who are yet trapped in sin may be released from that and brought into the glorious truth of the gospel and the freedom of forgiveness that is in Christ our Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your prophetic work, that you did reveal the truth to us, and that you have redeemed us, and that now you are ruling over us as your favored and blessed people. We praise you in your most glorious name. Amen. Let's respond now this morning as we turn to hymn 301, Join All.